Monday.
Open wide dev fans.
Get ready
to stuff your face with JavaScript,
CSS,
node modules,
barbecue tips,
Git workflows,
breakdancing,
soft skills,
web development,
the hastiest,
the craziest,
the tastiest
web development treats.
Coming in hot,
here is Wes,
Barracuda,
Boss,
and Scott,
El Toro Loco,
Tolinsky.
Welcome to Syntax. In this episode, we're going to be talking about publishing a React library. This is something that I'm currently doing, and I'm growing more and more interested in this, and I've been really impressed with just how easy it can be if you let it. So we're going to get into all about some of the key things, some of the ways to get off the ground and running. We're going to talk a little bit about doc libraries. There's a lot of stuff there, and just a little bit about the projects and how you can maintain a project here as a new somewhat open source developer. So my name is Scott Tolinsky. I'm a developer from Denver, Colorado. And with me as always is Wes Boss. How you doing?
Hey, everybody. I'm doing great. I'm excited. I've actually never published one of my modules, one of my React components to NPM. So I'm very curious to see what the process of this is like.
Yeah. And this by no means is the definitive process. This is the process that I did a little bit of research and found and really was impressed with just how quick and easy it was. So first and foremost, I think we want to talk a little bit about our sponsor this episode, which is going to help you along the way of writing some good code.
Yes, the sponsor is Sentry at sentry.io, and they're going to do all of your error and exception tracking. Basically, what it is something you install to your app, front end, back end, any end that you have, you can install it. And what it will do is it'll sort of catch any errors that happen and collect a bunch of info as to what happened, where did it go wrong, what made this thing happen. And then you get this amazing dashboard that allows you to filter and look at aggregate details about what happened and basically is just a treasure map to what the bug is. And with that insight, allows you to fix your bugs much faster. So check it out, sentry.io. Use the coupon code TASTYTREAT, all one word. That's going to get you 2 months for free. And that will work for existing users as well. If you haven't used that yet, make sure you pop it in. Thanks so much to Sentry for sponsoring.
Hey, thank you, Sentry. Okay, let's get this started with what I found to be the fastest way to get a library going. And that's through a library called Create React Library. Create React Library to me is really super cool. You can just fire it up directly from NPX, just NPX, create hyphen react hyphen library. Next thing you know, you have a repo fired up that uses rollup. It bundles CJS and ES modules. It basically sets up Babel for you. It has a Create React app built in so that you can fire up a quick little site to do testing and examples in. Like I said, it uses rollup for bundling. It uses Babel for transpiling. It has Jest configured. It supports complicated peer dependencies, CSS modules, optional support for TypeScript, source map creation. And there's a lot of people working on it. This thing's pretty super cool. I fired this up. And in 2 seconds, I have actually a YouTube video where I show this thing going, and it's maybe like a 5 minute process of having a thing going, and then all of a sudden you have your component. Now, just like any other Create React app or any other thing, you sort of have this going in two ways. It's pretty cool because you have your package, which is one bundler, and then you have the Create React app that's built into it, and they're all linked up so you can import directly immediately and start using it. And so the development process goes a little bit like this. You have your app.js or whatever it is in your Create React app, and you can just throw the component on the page. And then in the other bundler, while you're, writing your component, they'll all auto update, and it's just like working in one site. Now, the cool news is that that's pretty much all you need to do to have a package here. And this thing just basically gets everything set up for you except for the NPM stuff. It names it. It sets up your bundler and it sets up all of the paths and directories, everything to be okay. Now, I did find some pitfalls a little bit. The version of Create React App is kind of old and there's some weird dependency stuff. I tried to use hooks and some stuff broke. So I had to update the versions for everything, and then React was complaining that I had two copies of React running, which is a really unhelpful error. I'm just going to say that. It says, you have two copies of React running, and you're like, okay, thank you for telling me that. But I have no idea where the copies of React are coming from or how to fix this. So, like, I guess I'm just gonna have to
figure it out. A capitalization issue?
No, it was an issue where the one bundler, the bundler for the Create React app and the bundler for the library itself were both using React. And because of that, it didn't like it. So I had to link using NPM link my React to the package. Well, I'm going to do a video on it. So for anybody who's interested, there'll be a video on my YouTube channel showing the exact process I did because it was a giant pain in the butt. And there was like a Stack Overflow issue that Dan Abramov himself answered, but like the answer didn't work for me. So I was just sort of like, oh, okay, great. It didn't work. So I guess I'm doing this manually. But I figured it out. So that said, that's pretty much it. And other than that, if you want to get it published on NPM, which is also easy, you just need an account on NPM. I created a organizational account for mine. You may have seen those popping up with the at sign. Like it'll be at testing library or something, React testing library. Mine is at levelup.tuts/ the package, which is named fresh is the one that I'm working on. And so you create your NPM account, you create your login, and then you install. Well, you already have NPM installed, so you don't need to install NPM, but you basically just sign in to NPM using their CLI, and then you can publish your repo, and then it's available for anyone in the world to install on their application. So just like that, you could create something that's very simple. And so for me, I just started a little forms library, and it was amazing to me that I could get it up and on NPM and have people using it in about 2 seconds. So this is the process that I've been taking, and I've been loving this. And then it got me into improving, developing, and changing the package. And I ran into a bunch of issues around how to document this thing, right? Because we all know documentation is a big deal. And honestly, I want to turn this into a community project. I want other people to work on it. I want it to be documented well and people to get the idea of what the library is. So I started to dive into documentation libraries, of which we could probably do an entire episode on, because that is a deep darn dive. There was a lot of different documentation libraries from StyleGuidist, React StyleGuidist, Storybook. You know, there's a Docs, and there's some others.
Docs,
yeah. And let me tell you, none of these really worked super super well. I know Storybook works well. Storybook's the exception, but it is kind of a bit more of a pain in the butt to set up than some of the other ones because you have to do all the Storybook specific stuff. StyleGuidist, I think, just like scans your repo for MDX files. Like you don't have to tell it where things are. And then even the docz one, the configuration is pretty minimal. You have a docz folder and then you have markdown files in your app, like anywhere in your app, and it will just find it and use those. That said, every single one of these that I tried has some sort of weird issue going on. Like docz's that like, man, their team has created something really super cool. And let me tell you, docz is really cool. I really liked it, but there's a lot of open GitHub issues. And you will run into a lot of those open GitHub issues. Even just following their install instructions from their homepage or from their getting started, like didn't work. Just the bundler didn't work. I wasn't doing anything interesting, just did flat out didn't work. And then I found a second set of instructions to do the same process. So my guess is that it's just outdated or legacy documentation, because I tried the second process. I just started from scratch and it was slightly different, but it worked. So maybe I should be submitting a pull request. I don't honestly know enough about the repo to assume those kind of things. But there's a lot of open GitHub issues, and I personally have found a lot of them. You'll see me commenting saying I'm also having this issue in there. That said, I like the system in docz maybe the most. Storybook is great. It's a little bit heavier. It's a little bit more intense. And to be honest, I find a lot of storybooks that this is more of like an indictment on the people who write libraries that are like not helpful. Like they'll show the component in action. They'll show the knobs, which have all the props, but then they like wrote some like obscure code to get it to all just, you know, generate each one, because you have to write essentially like code to use your components for each one. Like I get to that code and then they wrote a bunch of helper code, and it's not actually how you would really use it. So it's like, what's the point of doing this if you can't actually, you know, I have to like inspect with the React DevTools to see the actual usage. So Storybook is great. It's an awesome platform. I just don't know if I'm ready to bring that in just yet. I want something that like sort of does things for me a little bit more. There's also Docsaurus, I think it's called. DocuSource that a lot of libraries use. I believe Jest uses it. React Testing Library uses it. If I'm being entirely honest, I don't like the documentation that any of those platforms have in the DocuSource. But that's a personal issue on my part. You very well may like it. That's the only reason I didn't pick it. It looks like a really solid platform. Again, this is a thing I could talk a lot about. All of these platforms have a lot of like really good people hard at work on them. And so hopefully nobody takes my comments as being derogatory towards any of these, because I thought they were all excellent. It's about finding the one that's right for you in your library. So right now I'm just really working with essentially my GitHub README. My GitHub README is a nice little props table, nice little basic README. And I think as long as you give people the options of what props are there, what are the components they can use, and maybe some examples of how to use them that work, then they'll be happy. And you don't need maybe necessarily a huge docs library until this thing gets a little bit bigger or something. So maybe let's get into a little bit of what I'm building. I'm building a forms library. Why? Because there's a billion form library, and I think their APIs could be a lot more simple. I'm just like looking at some form libraries, and their basic example of a form is like 15 lines of code long to just get a text input and a form going. It's like, I gotta just write this myself. Like, why do I need a library to do this? So my library, the API is really simple. I built it for me. And that's the kind of stuff that you want to do for these things, right? Like, not every open source project needs to serve the entire community or serve all these people or serve a billion people. One of the things I found about this is that I can take this thing, this code that I may have written for level up tutorials anyways, as a form library, right? I might have wanted to just use this as my own personal form library and level up tuts. But by creating it as a React library and then distributing it and linking whatever, it's turning it into something different, something the community can work on, something that I can, you know, grow from because the code's going to be public, but also something that is going to be useful for other people. You know, it's like, why would I spend all this time creating this thing that is just useful for me when other people, you know, if it fits their fancy, they can use it too. So I think that's a big lesson, is that you don't have to create things for everybody, but you also don't have to create things for just yourself. And it's really opened my eyes to maybe some parts of my platform that I've written that really, I think people could benefit from, right? Or even just other projects, right? Imagine this. I have all of my React styled components living in a folder called Elements. They're all totally self-contained. That's my entire CSS, all of my level up tutorials components. Well, why wouldn't I just turn those into a node library? And then anytime I'm doing a level up tutorials video series or something, I could just install my own elements. And I'm so familiar with those elements. It's like my own personal bootstrap. And it would take 2 seconds. It would take creating the library, copying and pasting the elements in there, publishing it, and then installing and importing. That's pretty sweet. And so you might be concerned because you might be thinking, well, how do I work on these things, right? Like, let's say I'm local developing level up tutorials. Then do I have to update my package, change the version, publish it to NPM, and then install the new update from Yarn or Node or whatever in my package? Note, you don't have to do that. If you are developing locally, there's this really amazing thing called Link. Now, if you've never used Link via NPM or Yarn, it's super simple. If I'm in my library, let's say my form library, which is called Fresh, if I'm in the Fresh library, from the root of that library, I just do NPM Link or Yarn Link. It's this just different. But if you're using Yarn on your site, use Yarn Link. So you do Link, NPM Link. That's it. Then you go to the directory of your project, whether that's level up tutorials or whatever. And then instead of typing npm install whatever, you do npm link and then the package name, or yarn link and then the package name. That part's essential because what it does is it links the local package build to your site. And this is really super cool because now you can develop your site and it's going to be linking the package directly to there. You don't have to worry about npm or any of that stuff. So I've been loving this because I've been using this form library already in level up tutorials on some really basic stuff. And it's taken me no time to get this up and running. And it was just really exciting to be able to drop it in there. If you want to see this process, I have a video on YouTube right now that illustrates this process and shows you exactly how easy it is. In fact, we create a library in 2 seconds and then I drop it directly in level up tutorials using Link. I'll link to this video in the show notes here if you want to check that out. But it's just so easy. All this stuff is easier than I expected, because every single time I've looked into this, I've looked into doing it all from scratch. Like, oh, okay, I gotta set up my Webpack config. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. And like, now I have a create React library that I can just click once and get my app going, and then there we go. Things I'm looking forward to in the future with this are more community involvement, of which we have none, right? Somebody mentioned that it'd be really great to have releases and milestones so that you could see like what the plans are, where this is going, and then maybe people could work on it that way. So that's something I'm going to be doing, taking advantage of more of these tools that exist that you see in open source libraries, and really just try to cut my teeth learning a lot about this. Maybe we'll do a follow-up after I've been an open source maintainer for a little bit longer than 1 week.
That's great. I love hearing how easy it is to push these things. Sometimes I do make these simple little components. I even have a little React component called dump. It just is sort of like the PHP equivalent of like the printr, where it just dumps like an object onto the page so you can see it. Nice. And when I did that, I didn't publish it to NPM. I just said, just literally just copy paste it into your project because it's so simple as to what it does. But maybe I should try and go the route of putting dump on NPM so people could just NPM install it.
Yeah. No, it's, I don't know. It was so much easier than I was expecting. If you already have the code written for dump, you could get dump on NPM as at Westboss.
At Westboss.
Yeah, dump. Westboss dump. You could put an S on there too. You could just do at Westboss dumps. And then that'd be pretty funny.
It's funny because I have a very popular package called Wait, which has become one of those one line NPM packages.
I've actually used Wait before.
Yeah, it's been installed like 250,000 times or something silly like that. And it's really funny. I should have like at Westboss Wait, at Westboss Dump, just all these different verbs of things that can happen in your app.
Yeah. That's funny.
Beautiful. Well, that is such a helpful little primer. I'm going to try it myself. Do you have anything else to add, or should we wrap this up?
Let's wrap it. I got nothing else. I'm interested in anyone's tips or tricks for hosting or maintaining any open source projects as somebody who's really feeling the flow for this. I'm liking it. I'm interested to hear what people who have already gone through some of these processes have learned. We can share those. Tweet us out at Syntax on Syntax FM on the Twitter, and we'll give you a retweet and we'll message you all that good stuff. So yeah, that's all I got.
Peace.
Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.